waiting for the last minute rush. I'm just giving it a second. Just giving it a second. You can always tell a holiday weekend with parents with kids, right? Because we still have kids, but a lot of them are somewhere else, right? Right? So I can, except for you, of course, give me a high five, like you're here, that's awesome. But everybody else with the young ones, I don't know where they're at. So anyways, it's good to see you today. We got a number of things going on. A couple of things I just want to remind of is, I started talking about it last week, but continue on. Annual meeting coming up on February 4th, and congregational meeting where we'll give updates on ministries and things going on, and I just think it's great when everybody can come, if their schedule allows, so that you can hear things that we just don't have time to talk about on Sunday mornings. So just mark your calendar, and of course, Super Bowl pizzas to help the youth, and that's happening too. At least the last time I heard it was happening. Do we know if that's still happening? Is that happening?
Yep, both okay. Sign-ups the next 2 weeks.
Sign up next week and the following weeks. Okay, great, awesome. So there's that, and then also Chili Cook-Off is coming up at the end of the month on the 26th, and like I said, it's a great time for Christian competitiveness, that we can be competitive and love each other and talk trash. So it's a great, it's all it takes. And then we do that, and then we can come on Sunday and confess our sins for being prideful about our chili. So it's the whole scope of life together. So that's a good thing. So, but it's a lot of fun. So if you've never been, we'd love to have you there. And if you're willing to make chili, the more the merrier. And so that's coming up, and there's sign up available for that as well. Also, this morning, every month we have something called designated offering. And we list a number of different organizations, not only organizations and ministries. So sometimes it's ministries within the church, sometimes it's local organizations, sometimes it's national, international. But this month, one of our designated offering goes to an organization called Teen Challenge, and Spencer is here this morning from Teen Challenge. If you came in the back way through the Narthex Welcome Zone area, you might have seen his table, but I've invited him to come forward and share a little bit about Teen Challenge. So once again, good morning. Good to see you here.
Well, good morning, second service. Thank you for allowing me to come out and share just really briefly about an organization that I am very passionate and biased about because I am a Teen Challenge graduate. Let me share with you a little bit about Teen Challenge if you're not familiar with us. Teen Challenge is a 12 to 18 month long residential discipleship program. Started back in the late 1950s by the Reverend David Wilkerson, who started helping some young kids that were wrapped up in all sorts of stuff in New York City. And the vision just grew by God's grace and some hard work. Teen Challenge now has over 250 residential discipleship programs to see addicts and alcoholics set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also have over 1,000 Teen Challenge ministries globally to help families and those that are hurting with some sort of life-controlling issue. And that is the organization that I'm a part of. Once again, I'm also a Teen Challenge graduate from Long Island, New York. Saved my life. God radically captivated my heart. And so once again, I'm a little biased because I think it's pretty much the best. Our centers in our district include South Bay. I'm the director there along with my wife, Danielle. East Bay has an adult men's program. Reno has an adolescent boys center. Vegas has a crisis center. And we opened up a new Teen Challenge program in Nevada for girls being rescued out of the sex trafficking industry. So that's just a little snapshot about what's going on in your district. Once again, I'm the director for South Bay along with my wife, Danielle. We've been here in San Jose since 2011. That's my lovely wife and kiddos there. And very passionate about what we do for missions and what we do for this thing that we call faith-based recovery here in San Jose. San Jose is home to two programs. We have a women and children's center on Owl Rock on the east side. We have 19 beds available for women and children to go through our year-long program together. We also are home to the only Teen Challenge family program in the United States. We actually have a 13-unit apartment complex on North 26th Street, and it is one of the rare programs, Teen Challenge or otherwise, that can take the whole nuclear family, mom, dad, and the kids, and have them go through our residential program together. Every student that comes into our programs is assigned a mentor and a counselor, work experience team, the chapels, education, reentry, and just like to invite you guys just to know more about us. I do have a booth set up there in the lobby. I have brochures for you if you know someone that might be struggling with addiction, if you know someone that needs help, even if you want to drop a prayer request for me to take back to our centers and be able to pray for you after all that the church has done for Teen Challenge. Happy to do that. So feel free to come and see me after service, and God bless. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So yeah, please take the time after service if you head back and meet if you have any further questions. We had a number of folks from First Service spend some time getting some more information, and as we can help folks in the community, what a great thing. So with that, let's turn our hearts to worship this morning. We're going to begin in prayer, as we always do, to center ourselves.
Loving God, you know us better than we can know ourselves.
You understand our thoughts, our desires, our joys, and our struggles. You call us, inviting us to listen to your word. You speak your word, calling us into a deeper relationship with you.
Open our hearts that we may hear you clearly.
Strengthen our spirit that we may have the courage to answer your call.
Be present in this time of worship, and draw us closer to you. Amen.
And so I'd invite you, if you're able, let's stand and let's greet one another with a sign of God's peace as we're in a faith community this morning, and be reminded that we are in this together. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. I'm coming over. You can't escape me.
All right. Ready?
Just get on board. All you need is
Prayer. What a prayer to sing. I'm going to invite you to sit. I'd invite any of the kids to come forward. And here you are.
Again.
How's that kitty doing, by the way?
Good.
Good. Getting bigger? Yeah? Good. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Come this way. I'm going to be all the way down there. Come this way a little bit. Get a little bit closer. Yeah. I don't bite much. So it's all good, much, you know, just a little, it's a little bit, that's good. So some people don't have school tomorrow. Some.
I don't.
You got the day off?
Yeah.
Okay. You have Tuesday. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's a holiday. And it's a holiday that means, for most of you, no school. For the rest of us, it means no mail, which means no bills. So that's exciting, right? And yeah, it's hard to believe. You're right. I think that's a great thing to say. It's hard to believe that someone would kill a pastor.
Yeah.
And he was a pastor. And all that he wanted to do was to make sure that all people We're treated the same.
There's my only son.
That's right. So you've learned a little bit about this. Yes, Kayla.
Back then, people were judged by the color of their skin.
See, you're actually learned some. I think this is great. You guys know about this. I think this is fantastic. You're right. And he was pointing out that we shouldn't do that. I didn't.
Everybody
sat at the lunch counters.
Salt and sugar on their heads.
They were mean. That's right, at the lunch counters. That's right. So, you know, that's a sad thing that used to happen. And he reminded us that we have to love everybody, and it has nothing to do with the color of their skin. Yes, Caleb.
Back then people had to be in different bathrooms by the color.
That's right.
The white people's bathroom is more cleaner than the black.
So that wasn't even the same, right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Like the colored people bathroom, they used to call it colored, but it was actually like black and brown.
Right, right.
They used to call it colored, but they used to use for the toilet, they would do like porta potties and.
Not as nice. That's not as nice. So I'm glad you guys have learned a little bit about this. And that's important bombed a church, that's right, and other places.
And they bought what happened on
and
the bus. Like,
and the bus, that's right, the Freedom Riders. So I'm really glad because this is to remind us that we don't want to be like that. Because Jesus tells us to love people. No matter what, just to love people. And so it's good to study history so that we don't redo it. That's exactly right. And so tomorrow, enjoy the day off, but also don't forget about this pastor. Don't forget about God, and don't forget about this pastor who talked about things that related to God, about how we treat people, how we love one another, how we strive for everyone to live the same.
Someone shot him with a gun.
Yeah, that's right. Sad. So.
And then he got put in jail, and then the person that...
They got arrested. That's right.
That shot him.
Yep.
Arrested. But also, Martin, since he got put in jail a lot, but he kept going.
He didn't give up. That's right. Because he knew it was important that people treated other people equally and with justice and justness. So good. I'm glad you guys know something about this. And it's just a reminder tomorrow as you enjoy the day off to remember that we got to keep loving on people and treating everybody the same. So with that, let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Of the witness and example of Martin Luther King Jr.
Help us to speak up,
love others,
and protect their dignity.
We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Isn't it great how much these young ones know? Isn't that beautiful? That warms my heart. Yeah, thank you guys. Some of you are going to choir, and some of you are going back to your seats, so I don't know who's who, but just know where you need to go.
I'm not sure.
I don't either, so yeah, so we'll be right here. So we're going to turn to our readings this morning. I think we are. Are we? Are we going to have readings this morning? I'll read. Do we have a reader? I don't know. I don't want to cheat anybody, but let me just read. Nobody's jumping up, so let me read. So first reading from Amos, the Old Testament prophet, and he's talking to the people of Judah in the southern kingdom, not only about them, but also the northern kingdom, which had split off, and they weren't living life the way God called them to. And so Amos speaks God's words. He says, even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And with that, if you are able, I invite you to stand in respect to the gospel this morning, Matthew chapter 12. The Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, and this is what is said in Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. And in the nations, and in the name, in his name, the nations will put their hope. And so here ends our gospel reading. I invite you to sit. And before I speak this morning, let's watch the screens.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. And righteousness like a mighty stream. To be a street sweeper. Set out to sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. If you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the rill.
So we come to remember that tomorrow is that day, as I was talking to the children. 1986 was the year that the federal holiday was instituted, the third Monday of January, which actually tomorrow being the 15th is the anniversary of his birthday too. Yet when it was adopted by the federal government in 1986, the adoption rate among states was slow. I don't know if you remember, but I remember when Arizona rescinded and there were boycotts, and then they reconsidered. By 1989, there were still six states that didn't recognize this holiday. Matter of fact, some of them argued that was the day they remembered Robert E. Lee. So it took until 2000 for all the states of our union to recognize the holiday, and also then extended it into a state holiday as well. And because we live in a republic and we recognize state rights, every state had the right to accept or reject a federal holiday, but it's clear that some did not want to accept this holiday, not for any other reason than he was too controversial. And if you remember, he was the driving force in changing what we would call the status quo when it came to civil rights, pointing out that in the 14th Amendment, which is the equal protection under the law, it wasn't afforded to every citizen, which of course made him provocative. What he noticed is that there was, and not just him, there was a white America, and then there was everyone else. He saw that the founding documents, Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, in places in the Declaration where it said where all humans are created equal and should have the ability to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and he recognized that not everybody had that. And not everybody had equal protection under the law. When he talked about this in one of his most famous speeches, the I Have a Dream speech, he says this. When the architects of our republic wrote that those magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he goes on, but it is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note in as so far as her citizens of color are concerned. I mean, he basically pointed out the disconnect between what was happening in real life and what was promised in our founding documents. That how people were treated was different than what we said we aspire to. And of course, because of that, many people did not want that. They wanted things the way they always had been. They preferred the social order the way it was. And if there was to be change, it should be small and incremental and not cramp anyone's style. This pastor was a troublemaker for showing the ways in which our country failed some of its citizens. But yet he continued, as the children even pointed out, he didn't give up even after he was arrested multiple times, and he pushed through with something called nonviolent resistance. So on a day like today, believe it or not, there will be many churches who will not speak the name Martin Luther King Jr. in church today. It is too scandalous 50 years later to talk about him. Now, as I thought about this, what is really interesting about it is for some churches, it's okay to talk about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, even though he spoke against the injustices of his time, and that he stepped up to stop some of the hatred that was going on in his time. It's okay to talk about him. That it's quite all right to talk about Martin Luther, who also wrote and spoke against the powers that be of his time, which were both the church and the state, and they were one and the same. But if we add King Jr. onto that great reformer's name, well, churches get a little squishy. Now, what I find fascinating is that in 1934, so we go way back, Martin Luther King Sr. was attending a worldwide Baptist conference in Berlin, in Germany, where he spent some time actually learning about Martin Luther, the reformer, and that he was so impressed by his faith and his steadfastness that when he came back to Atlanta, Georgia, he changed his name and his son's name from Michael to Martin Luther. It's almost as if God knew that these two would be reformers of their own, because they both in their own right were reformers. And it's also fair to say that not everybody liked the original Martin Luther either. But we as Lutherans won't shy away from any of these people. Now, if you want to test me on this, I know it's against your better nature to touch a hymnal in this service, but if you wanted to pick up the cranberry-colored hymnal in front of you and turn to page 15, not hymn number 15, right at the front of the book, and go to page 15, what you will see is a list of commemorations and holy days. I mean, if Lutherans had saints, this would be our page of saints and commemorations. And in there, when you get to January 15th, in this list, you will see Martin Luther King Jr. with the designation Renewer of Society and Martyr. That's some heavy stuff right there. The Lutheran Church recognizes a Southern Baptist pastor who worked tirelessly to change our nation for the better, and he was killed doing this important work, and that is the definition of a martyr, someone who is killed for their beliefs. So we don't throw around the word martyr, you know, loosely. Now, I have to get through all of that to get to this. That was all preface. There would be some who would say, preachers need to stick to religion. But here's the thing. That's exactly what he did. He talked about the things that he knew best. He talked about scripture and he used theology. He only applied it to society. He stuck to religion. In the same way that many theologians and church attenders of the early 20th century were shocked by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran pastor of Germany, and his application of Scripture. Many people don't know this, but back in the day, when people read Scripture in church, and theologians even fully subscribed to the idea that the Word of God was platitudes. It was ideals. They were high and lofty, and they were good to read, but way too far removed from us. Bonhoeffer believed and he taught that we should take the teachings of Jesus very, very seriously and actually live them out in our daily lives. Can you imagine? That's crazy. Dr. King followed that precept as well, that the Bible has practical application for our lives, not only for our very lives, but for the church and for society and for the world, including in following the way of Jesus. He discovered that nonviolent resistance was the way to stand up to injustice. Following the way of Jesus. Now, it's fair to say that King actually found his inspiration from Gandhi, who was Hindu. And he saw that using nonviolent resistance to stand up to large groups of people works not only for individuals, but for crowds. But guess where Gandhi was inspired? From the teachings of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. So we come full circle. But the most interesting part of this is, for this whole idea of nonviolent resistance, the guiding principle for this movement, for nonviolent resistance against injustice, it has its roots in love. Love, as in love your neighbor as yourself and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It wasn't political, it was religious. And guess what happens when you start to love people around you, including those you disagree with, maybe even hate? You see them as people. And you see that God loves them too, even if they're misguided. You see that even when they're hateful, they are still people. And then second thing is, when you start loving people around you, not just those you like, but a larger segment here, You start living into the goal, the intention, the will of God for all people. In other words, when you can be loving, treating people the way God hopes everybody treats each other, you're actually living into the will of God. Now, there's a fancy word for living into the will of God. It's called righteousness. That when we follow a Savior who died for us, and that we actually let him work in our lives, including being loved and forgiven, so that we can love and forgive. That's called righteousness. And you can always see, and here's the great thing about this, is that you can always tell when God is at work in the world because there is love. And when there's love, we know that the righteousness of God is shining through, which is exciting. So we can always have a litmus test of, we know when God's at work, when we see love in action. But there's more. When there is love, the seeds of justice are planted. Now, this is important because the word righteousness in the original language in Greek in the New Testament, the word for righteousness and justice are the same word. There's only one word for both of those things. Righteous and justice go together. So that God's righteousness and God's justice is actually tied to how we treat people. Specifically, loving people as brothers and sisters of Christ, even if they're not. So when we get to know people, and we start to love on them, we act in a way that it is charitable towards them, and we stop thinking about our own self-interests exclusively. And when we start working with others and helping others, that's those seeds of justice are planted. And when we talk about this idea, people often confuse equality with justice. I found this great definition I just want to share with you. I think this is beautiful. Equality assumes everyone is the same, has the same abilities, talents, and the same history. But justice doesn't. Justice is about making appropriations towards fairness, even in the light of past inequality. Justice is about making things accessible for all by giving equal opportunity. Now here's the deal. I want you to chew on that, but that's not God's definition of justice. That's like an earthly definition of justice. Matter of fact, you've heard me say this before, that God's justice is not even fair. God forgives sinners and welcomes the wayward children home. That's not justice, that's grace. But God calls it justice. In the world where we say we want justice, we want someone punished. And in God's realm, God says, welcome home, there's grace for you. So from a theological point of view, from God's point of view, justice is more than punitive, than punishing. It's the ability to look at a situation and help people based on what they need. To treat people like they're not just all cut from the same mold. So justice and love go hand in hand. And to be clear, our love, which is rooted in God's love as Christians, doesn't mean anything goes. I mean, people think, oh, when you tell people to love me, that means anything goes. And that we just shrug off when things aren't right and just say, well, that's just the way it is. Often people think that when you love and just say, only love people, that means you become a doormat. Well, that's the opposite. The opposite of love is being a doormat because people are being hurt in the process. However, saying no to unjust things can be the most loving thing we do as long as we do it nonviolently. But there's more. When there's love, the possibility of the seeds of justice are planted. And when the seeds of justice are planted, there's an opportunity for freedom, a liberty to live unfettered, freedom to thrive, freedom to be the people of God who love all regardless of faith or background or skin color. Love leads to justice, which leads to freedom, to liberty. And it's so true. One of the great quotes of Dr. King is, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, but it gets better. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. That's just not a societal thing. That's a church thing. That's a theological thing. We are in this together. That's why love can lead to justice, and justice can lead to freedom. That's good news for the church and for the world. Now, here's the deal, though. This isn't someone else's job. This is our calling. To be quiet in our pews, to allow injustice, is not what God has called us to do. Allowing the status quo of isms to continue while we politely say that's not our business is not who God has called us to be. I mean, thinking larger, I don't want to look back 20 years from now and see the church, not Bethel, but the Christian church. I don't want to look back 20 years from now and see that the Christian church, the church that God gave to the world, didn't fully respond to the challenges of this day, including the, if you're not familiar with it, including the Me Too movement, that we just didn't say anything because we didn't want to upset somebody and say, enough is enough. Or, here's the other one, that I don't want to look back and say, like, look, yeah, of course we've generically proclaimed that God sides with the oppressed of this world. It's a tenet of our faith. But then we sit back and we never fully identify who those oppressed and marginalized are, and we never advocate for them in a meaningful way because it might offend. I don't want the world to pass us by. Not just us, the church, the Christian church. Because here's what I believe. We are the keepers of the greatest message ever. We have good news for all the people. We have a God who cares for the individual. God cares for the community. And I don't want that to get lost in the fact that we might be too timid to talk about love, to talk about justice and freedom, the very things that Scripture tells us are important to God, and the very thing that the kingdom of God is actually bathed in. So this is important work, not because it's a societal thing, but because it's a kingdom of God thing. Jesus spoke up. Bonhoeffer spoke up, Luther spoke up, King spoke up and addressed what it meant to be a child of God, and that we have to stop seeing people as math symbols, because no one is less than and certainly no one is greater than. See, when we can be a community of God, and look out not only for our own interests, but for our community and care for others, and see people as brothers and sisters in Christ rather than math symbols, then those words of Amos come true, that justice will roll down like waters, and righteousness will be like an ever-flowing stream. But until that day, and until Christ returns, we will continue to pray that this will happen. But more than that, we will also act as God's agents in the world. Amen. So why don't we stand and we sing together.
Times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again? never ending. Your glory goes beyond all frame. Girl above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. And love you from the inside out. You will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. It's everlasting, your love will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory grows beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your love will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of
amen. I'm going to invite you to please be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we just ask that you do what the song says, to change our hearts from the inside out. And that even Jesus reminds us that it's not the outside things that cause us to stumble, but it's what's inside the heart. And so we ask this day to release us from the things that limit us and hold us back, from attitudes and anger and sadness and sin and actions that we regret. We ask that you come and flood our hearts Let us release and relinquish that control so that you may fill us with forgiveness and love. To be reminded this day that it's not just words that matter, but our actions too. That how we treat others matters to you. And so help us to continue to strive towards building loving relationships, not just here in church, but into our community and beyond. That we strive for your grace, your justice, and your righteousness to permeate our lives so that we may be surrounded in love, but also so that we may help others who struggle, that we may be agents of your justice and agents of your grace, and that others may see that there is freedom in your name, to be reminded in Scripture that there is no such thing as Jew or Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free. We are reminded, Lord, that there are no physical attributes that you judge, that those things fall away, that they don't matter to you, but instead we belong to you and that we are your children. And so help us to cherish that, that nothing can change that adopted status that we have as your children. And at the same time, help us to treat others in that same manner, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, to love the unlovable, to love the hateful, but also to be able to say no and to say stop when we see injustice happening. We also gather this day, Lord, to lift up those who need our prayers for Mary, for Sue, for Al, for Vern, for Judy and Betty and Eileen and for Mickey. We pray for those affected by the floods and the mudslides. We pray for those who are just trying to dig out from getting over the fires and then this happens. We pray for those in mourning who lost loved ones. And we lift up others now from the silence of our hearts. We entrust all the things that we come burdened with, people and issues and things we're thinking, we trust them to you, knowing that you hear our prayer and that you care. So we ask in this moment that you shed a little light on us, the light of your love, the light of your grace, the light of your presence, so that we may take it from this place and share it with others. So we entrust all these things to you, praying in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So as a response to God's goodness in our life, we take up our offering, and we're going to listen to a little bit of James Taylor.
Let us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King and recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women living on the earth, ties of hope and love, sister and brotherhood, that we are bound together in our desire to see the world become a place in which our children can grow free and strong. We are bound together by the task that stands before us and the road that lies ahead. We are bound, we are bound. There's a feeling like the clenching of a fist. There's a hunger in the center of the chest. There's a passage through the darkness in the mist. And though the body sleeps, the heart will never rest. Shed a little light, oh Lord. So we can see. Recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women living on the earth, ties of open love, sister and brother.
Beautiful. So if you're able, please stand. May the Lord God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God give you the grace never to sell yourselves short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing together.
Just roll like a
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Okay, we will. Have a blessed week, everybody. From the end of-